This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared, word for word, in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the Word of Life brought to you by HICF Ministries. And now, Reverend Dr. John Dickey.
Weeks ago, we started unpacking John chapter 3, verse 16. The title of the sermon was John 3, 16, and the scripture reading was John 3, 16. If you recall, the main point was a simple question. Simple, but very important question. Do you know John 3, 16? Do you know John 3:16. I believe John 3:16 is one of the single scriptures, if not the only scripture, that is pregnant with a lot of stuff. It talks about everything about God, His love, the fall of man, salvation that God brought to man through the sacrifice of His one and only Son. In that, John 3:16, we saw freedom of choice, we saw the aspect of the judgment and condemnation, and indeed, as we shall see later, John 3:16 talks about heaven and hell fire. Therefore, knowing John 3:16, for me, is a prerequisite to gradual understanding it. Knowing and believing God is the bedrock of our faith in God, without which it is impossible to please God. We also say that understanding John 3:16 comes with increased and sustained relationship with God the Father at personal level. Today, we shall begin to dive into the content of John 3:16. Let us pray. I want you to pray wherever you are. Pray earnestly and seek to know God. Seek to hear Him today. Seek to know Him more. I want you to bow your head. Pray from your heart. So much to know. The quality of our lives, our spiritual walk is affected based on how much we know about God. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you. I want to know you. I pray that's your prayer. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. Father, give us insight into your word, into your person. Open our ears to hear you. We want to know more about you. Yes, Lord, this is our prayer this afternoon and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Main points of this part two of the unpacking of John 3:16 titled, Who is God? The main points, one, if you don't know who is God, you will not know where He is. under that main point, there are sub titles or questions. Do you know what you are looking for? Do you know what you should be looking for? Probably, I mean, you are looking for something. Do you know what you're looking for? Is that what you are supposed to be looking for? That's the difference between the first two questions here. And the third one, do you know where you should be looking at in order to find what you're looking for? Then the other main point is things you will do and not do when you know who is God, or because you know who is God. To the very first point, if you don't know who is God, you will not know where He is. The spiritual meaning of this statement, if you will, is if you can't find Him, that is God in this case, means you are without salvation. And it's important for us to find God, because when we find Him, we find life. So generally, if you don't know what you're looking for, it's hardly to find anything. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 35 says, "For those who find me, find life and receive favor from the Lord." So if you don't know what you're looking for, you can find Him. And in this case, if you don't know God, how do you find Him? And if you can't find Him, it means you don't have life. Because it says, "For those who find me, find life and even receive a favor from the Lord." And then John chapter 17 verse 3 says, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Emphasis: it's important that we know God, because when we know Him and find Him, we are finding life. A joke is told, and probably some of you have heard of it, and the joke really sounded funny, and probably, I guess, some of us or some of you, it was just the fun of it, and that is all. It was funny. The joke is titled, "Where is God?" But I pray as you listen to it again today, you will see it from another perspective. And here is the joke. A couple had two little boys, age 8 and 10, who were excessively mischievous. Not just mischievous, but what an adjective there. Excessively mischievous. They were always getting into trouble, and their parents knew that. If any mischief occurred in their town, their sons were probably involved. Let me quickly say here, it is important for parents to know their children, know who they are, know them very well. Don't be like parents that whatever happens after the fact of they know who their children are, when they children done something wrong, they try to protect them. It's good for parents to protect them, but protect them rightly. And you better know, because if you just trust them and they go out and do bad things and you stand for them and the truth is not on your side, you'll be ashamed. And especially for the household of God, these parents, I think they were doing a good job. They knew their children. And they even said, if anything bad happened in the city, they kind of show that maybe probably their children are involved in it. So it's important for parents to know their children. Anyway, the story continues. The boy's mother heard that a clergyman in town had been successful in disciplining children. Good. That is a place of pastors, leaders in their community. All right. Even though these days you dare not touch any child. I'm not talking about beating, corporal punishment. All right, correction. Some people, if you even talk to their children, they want to sue you. They think you don't love them. But I remember back in our community, it's like household of believers have the right to correct a child when they see something happening on the street. They quarrel, and parents are happy that others can stand and support. There we have an old proverb in Africa that says it takes a village to raise a child, but today it is not, unfortunately. So this clergyman was quite a disciplinarian. So the clergyman agreed that but asked to see them individually. So the mother sent her 8-year-old first in the morning with the older boy to see the clergyman maybe at a later time in the afternoon. So another point here, parents, when it is things are getting out of your hand, don't just push it aside, wave it aside. This is our future generation. We need to correct. We need to be prayerful about them. We need to seek help. Don't be ashamed to seek help. It's helpful. Anyway, the clergyman, a huge man with a booming voice, sat the younger boy down and asked him sternly, "Where is God?" The boy's mouth dropped open, but he made no response, sitting there with his mouth hanging open, wide-eyed. So the clergyman repeated the question in an even sterner tone, "Where is God?" Again, the boy made no attempt to answer. So the clergyman raised his voice even more and shook his finger in the boy's face and bellowed, "Where is God?" I hope you can see me how I'm trying to demonstrate this. Of course, at this, you know, the body responds, the adrenaline surge, flight or fright. The boy screamed and bolted from the room, ran directly home and dove into his closet, slamming the door behind him. Wow. His brother, who had that slamming of the door, came. Pierre, he asked, "What happened?" The younger brother, gasping for breath, replied, "We are in big trouble this time, dude. God is missing, and they think we did it. They think we pulled it." The question this afternoon to you: I would have loved to start asking you, "Who is God?" Yes. And that's what I will be doing. Who is God? Instead of "Where is God?" Instead of asking you, "Where is God?" I think the appropriate question, "Who is God?" Because if you know who is God, you will know where to find him. Absolutely, the mischievous dudes have no idea who God is. If they knew who God is, they wouldn't have even thought that people are thinking they have pulled a fast one, stealing God. That could have been a breaking news, to steal God. As funny as that story or joke could be, I believe a closer look at ourselves, we may be in the same place as these two little mischievous dudes, or even worse than them. Brothers and sisters, because we don't know God, let me be a little bit fair. Maybe you know him, but you really, really don't know him. Such that when things go wrong in your life, you think God does not care. Do you really know God? You think he doesn't care? Sometimes when you feel you are alone, lonely, in that problem, in that situation, in that valley, you go ranting and saying you are left alone. You don't know that his silence doesn't mean he's not there or he doesn't care. He's even closer to you than your skin. You don't know
When you see him in different forms, you only expect him to appear in your carnal mind in this way that you know him, but he's appearing to you in different forms. You always know him to come in good times. You never know that he can appear in the fire. You don't know that sometimes when things go wrong in your life, does not necessarily mean that you are wrong, but God is doing something because of somebody. If you can only stand and persevere. It can go on and on with the list. Who is God? Well, in making an attempt to discuss this enormous, huge, vast topic, I must put a disclaimer here. I'm in no way making an attempt to cover all about God in just about less than 1.5 hours, or less than an hour. Of course, I will not take up to 1.5 hours. So I'm not making an attempt, because that is even disrespectful to the person of God to discuss him in 2 hours. It takes one a lifetime to know just little about the different character, nature, attributes of God. Nor am I in any way claiming that I fully know this God, talk less of fully understanding him. No one can fully know him, nor understand. But I thank God, God is faithful, that all that is required of us to know and eventually believe in him has been made known to us. And I have chosen to go by what he has revealed to me, that is enough to help me to obey and trust him. Who is God? The word God and what it stands for is what matters to a man from the day he is born until he exits the world and into the world beyond. In the word of God, we all know that God is love, God is life. God loves us so much that he gave his one and only son. That is God. God loves you so much to give you choice, freedom. We know also that God cannot lie and nothing is impossible with him. God is more than what we can describe from our experience of him. So therefore we should be careful to limit him to what only we know at the time. You know what? God is as big to fill the whole universe and as so small to fit into anything. He can live in your heart, a fist-sized heart. I don't mean the physical one in a way. He determines the end of any matter from the beginning. He is called I Am That I Am. That speaks volume, and that speaks a lot about this God. There is none like him. I Am That I Am. I do not change. Wow. However, these are the good things we are so used to about who is God. But I want to bring some stunning facts that may probably surprise you or shake you about God. First, God is divine, the only immortal, one who created divine and human life and as well can destroy them. And let me put it this way. Any entity, visible or invisible, that cannot create divine and human life and as well cannot destroy them is not a God. They are all liars. Visible and invisible, divine or human, they don't have the power to do such a thing. Because God is life. He is the source of life. Human beings can kill the physical life, but they cannot kill the eternal life. Another point, God has feelings and is emotional, but always check his feelings and emotions in place. He doesn't just lose his cool. He controls his emotion. He's God. That's what makes him a God. He can be angry. He has emotions and feelings. So when you come in a deceptive way just to praise him and in order to get things, I want to tell you, God is not a vending machine. He reacts to hypocrisy, to lies. He's hurt. And he can have joy over his children that are obedient to him. He has a fierce anger, wrath, that you can ever imagine. We shall see later soon about his anger that is so confusing. When you look at his wrath, the anger of the Lord, and then when you look at this love that he lavishes on us. This God of love can cast you into hell based on your choice to receive or reject him. That is God. Truth about him. Sometimes we do bad jobs in telling people God is love, everything gonna be rosy, and we fail to reflect the true nature of his justice. And one other thing, you cannot find God except if he reveals himself to you. We cannot find him. But again, we look into the scriptures, we are sure he has revealed that which is necessary, that which is important, that which is enough for us to trust and believe in him. Another thing, God is confusing sometimes, especially to the most intelligent carnal mind. Underline carnal. Carnal-minded people, they confuse the things of God. Because if you are not led by the Spirit of God, the things of God may seem foolish to you. But he reveals himself to those who earnestly seek him, those that are humble, broken, and contrite in heart. Yes, generally, it is not only the most intelligent carnal mind that have problem in understanding God, but even us who are spiritually minded. Truthfully, yes, to us as humans, some of the scriptures and the word of God are seemingly confusing, contradicting, but they are not, because God doesn't contradict himself. God is never conflicting or conflicted. Yes, carnally, as human beings in this flesh, we can't help our thoughts and understanding when we see or read certain scriptures. Just look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. In this single verse, you see the amazing aspect of God's love, that he gave himself. He did not give love, he gave himself to die in the hands of men. But again, you can see there is the aspect of judgment and condemnation in that John 3:16 I've said earlier, the aspect of hellfire and heaven, paradise with God, eternity with God. He talks about life and eternal life. He came to give life. So which life are we living? Or which life are you living if you don't have the Son of God? That life is not eternal life. And that life that is not eternal life cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And we know there are just two places, in paradise or in the lake of hellfire. There is nothing in between. Yes, we can see scriptures that talk about these issues that sometimes confuse us and we think they are contradicting. Like the question of man can never see God face to face. Like in Exodus chapter 33 verse 20, and he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 16, he alone is immortal and dwells in unapproachable light. No one has ever seen him, nor can anyone see him. to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. But when we look at other scriptures, like Isaiah that was taken into the presence of God in Isaiah 6:5, it says, "Woe is to me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, dwelling among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Wow. Say, he can't stand a prophet. May we thank God for the atoning blood that allow us into the presence of God. Hallelujah. But who is this loving God that those he loved cannot behold his face? Is it what we think is? That God doesn't want us to see his face? But there are other scriptures that describe God coming face to face with man. Genesis chapter 32 verse 30. So Jacob named the place Peniel, saying, "Indeed I have seen God face to face, and yet my life was spared." Because it's believed when you come face to face with God, I mean, you're going to die. So that is why in the olden days when you see an angel, they bow with shaking and fear. Exodus chapter 33 verse 11, they said, "The Lord will speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend." Then what about Genesis chapter 3 verse 8 to 9? That verse is 8 to 9. Most of the time it's been taken that God is in fellowship with man, like face to face. So you see, as if it is conflicting. I will address some of this at the end of this segment. What is the next thing that is conflicting? God's anger and punishment against sin. Leviticus 26 verse 14 to 20, when you read it, it's overwhelming. You know, it says, "I will punish you for those who refuse to obey him." Let me just put that. For those who reject his law. He said, "This is what I will do to you. I will punish you with sudden terrors and panic and with tuberculosis and burning fever. Your eyes shall be consumed and your life shall eat away. You will sow your crops in vain, for your enemies will eat them. I will set my face against you and you will flee before your attackers. Those who hate you will rule you." You know, it goes on. It says, "I will break your proud power and make your hearts as iron and your heart as bronze. Your strength shall be spent in vain." Wow. That's Leviticus 26 verse 14 to 20. You can read the full of it. I'm just picking some of it. Then we go to Amos chapter 9 verse 2 to 4. "Though they dig down to the depths below, from there my hand will take them. Though they climb up to the heavens above, from there I will bring them. Verse 3. "Though they hide themselves on the top of Carmel, there I will hunt them down and seize them. Though they hide from my eyes at the bottom of the sea, there I will command the serpent to bite them." Wow. These people are running away from the anger of the Lord, but the Lord is saying, "I will get you." Verse 4, "Though they are driven into exile by their enemies, there I will command the sword to slay them. I will keep my eyes on them for harm and not for good." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Isn't it confusing, conflicting? Jeremiah 17 verse 4, listen, "Through your own fault." Again, always observe, there is something happening before God is angry, but we are just overwhelmed with this wrath. That's why it says, pray that you don't fall into the hands of the Lord, into his anger. He says, "Through your own fault, you will lose the inheritance I give you. I will enslave you to your enemies in a land you do not know, for you have kindled my anger." and it will burn forever. Probably. What is forever? But when you go into Hosea chapter 2 verse 23, we talk about God's everlasting love. He talks about, I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I call, not my loved one. I will say to those who call, those call not my people, you are my people, and they will say, you are my God. Jeremiah 31 verse 3, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Now going through this can be overwhelming. From one aspect you see the wrath, the anger of God, unthinkable. Who is man that can withstand such wrath? And here he is lovingly as a father, over and over again, giving his son, his only son. It can be overwhelming and confusing sometimes, if we have to be honest. Well, this is what I think, my position on these things. On the matter of seeing God's face or not, to the anger or wrath of God, and then to the assurance of his love. Here are my thoughts. You see, the fall of man has almost caused irreversible things in our relationship with God. So much corrupted. But thank God that in Christ, God is restoring us back to the very first position where we were when he created us. Amen to that. We have to be careful. The translation of the scriptures may contribute to the difficulty of understanding. That's why we encourage each one to read many versions. It can help in giving you better understanding of the scripture. We should be humble to accept the truth that there are things that does not add up, but that doesn't mean they don't add up on the side of God. We should understand also to be very careful in just concluding on verses without knowing the whole picture, without knowing the whole background. Let us not take things out of context. Finally, there are things that are secret unto the Lord, and we should respect that while making use faithfully with what is revealed. As Deuteronomy chapter 29 verse 29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. For me, I have chosen to respect, accept what is revealed to me, and leave the secret things to God. God, he's all powerful, all knowing, and all seeing, an ever present God. This is the God who has the power to force us or to make us do his bidding, but he gave us opportunity to choose. What a loving God! He's not a dictator. This God, nothing is hidden from him, he sees everything, nothing is impossible with him. Nothing is out of his control, and nothing misses his attention. That's our God. He does not forget. He does not lie. He never runs short of anything. He speaks and things happen. Out of nothing he makes things. How can he run out of things? He's never late. He does not sleep nor get tired. This is our God that we believe in. And the God that we serve is accessible to all that seek him earnestly. He can be known by the educated, uneducated. He can be known by the most powerful and the least powerful. The poor and rich can know and have relationship with him. Female or male, sick or healthy individuals, all can have access and have relationship with God. The freed and the slaves, the young and old. Language is no barrier in knowing and having a relationship with Him. Geographical location doesn't matter. Your color of skin is no barrier. You are ugly, you are beautiful, it's no barrier. You can still know God. It doesn't matter your size, your shape, your weight, it's no barrier. Oh, hallelujah. Give Him praise. This is our God. The God that created the universe, mankind, and everything. Who is like unto God? Exodus chapter 15 verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Who is like unto thee, O Lord? Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now that we have talked about, we talked briefly about who is God, I just want to tell you that's information of who God is. Our main text, John chapter 3, 16, is informative. The point I'm driving at is that information is good and very important, but without applying it into use, it's as good as not having it. John 3, 16 is there. All the things that we describe about God can be just information to you. Without accepting it, applying it, it's as if not hearing anything. We are in the era of information technology. Analysis, translation, and implementation and protection of information is critical. Protection of information. You have seen some of those movies where people die or risk their lives in order to obtain just a small diskette that contains critical information. We have this information, critical. I can tell you who God is as revealed in His word. But the devils and demons have such information, but no use. There are great space explorers there who have no knowledge of God. What does the knowledge of knowing who God is doing in your life, if you claim to know Him? How has knowing God impacted, changed you? Has it taken control of your life? If not, you need to know more about God. In the 16th chapter of Matthew, while they were there, while He was there with His disciples in the district of Caesarea and Philippi, quite a strategic place for God to reveal to Peter who Christ is. Go and read. You'll understand what I'm saying. It's quite a strategic place because there is this cave there. There is this cave there that is called the Pan, and it is believed to be the bottomless pit. The Greek and the Romans, they have this god Pan where they worship, and it looked like the gate of hell. And Christ strategically is not by accident. He knew where He wants to stand and reveal who He is by God the Father through Peter. And there it's been defined. He said, you know, it is God. It is my Father who revealed. Read that, Matthew chapter 16. It is God who revealed to Peter. Flesh and blood cannot reveal God to you. You cannot know Him with a carnal mind. Now, having said that, don't make excuses that God has not revealed Himself to you. That is why you don't know Him. Really? Have you read Romans chapter 1 verse 22? It says what? For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. With all your heart, if you seek Him, you will find Him. He can be found. Anyway, back to the question. Jesus asked His disciples, I know what people say, but you, what are you saying about me personally? And I believe God is asking us today, who do you say God is personally to yourself? Yes, you know what the Bible says about God. You know what the church are saying about God. And John 3:16, very unfortunately, what the churches today are saying, what they are describing him. Sure, you know what the world and its system is saying about God. You know what your culture, tradition, custom is saying about God and John 3:16. You know what the globalists are saying about God and John 3:16. You know what the New Age movement, the environmentalists, the abortionists are saying about God and John 3:16. You know what your problem is saying about God and John 3:16. You know what your failure is saying about God and John 3:16. But you as a person, as an individual, do you know God personally? Think about that. Back to the very first point that we raised. And that very first point to refresh your mind is what? If you don't know who is God, you will not know where He is. The sub-questions that we had is, do you know what you are looking for? Do you know what you should be looking for? Do you know where you should be looking for those things that you are looking for? Do you know the place where you should look for them? Brothers and sisters, if you don't know what you are looking for, you will find nothing. Or you will stumble on what you are not supposed to find. And let me tell you, better know it that our God never plays dice, and salvation is not by chance. Even though some of you may think that your salvation looks coincidental, let me say, each of our salvation is not coincidental. It was divinely orchestrated. Do you know what you're looking for? I'll give you an illustration to grab my point. This illustration is titled, I Really Don't Know What I'm Looking For. A man came home one summer hot day. He turned the house upside down. His wife, who was in another room, heard all the noise of things moving. She peered through the door and looked into the luggage room, and she saw a whole total mess. Evidently, his wife knew he must have been looking for something. Knowing how to get around her husband in such frustration moments, she said, I can help clear things so that you can look better. But if it's okay, may I know what you're looking for? Just in case I stumble on it while I'm putting away what you have already checked. He stopped briefly and looked at his wife with confused expression. He said, I really don't know what I'm looking for. His wife's mouth dropped open, eyes slightly enlarged, but immediately composed herself. And then she said, Honey, I have set already 2 chilly glasses of our favorite juice drinks in the living room. Let's have some, and after that we can resume the search. He reluctantly followed her to the living room. She was quite an intelligent woman. She knew at that time when they would sit down, she would have a way of asking exactly. Now, hearing that kind of story, you think that is unthinkable. That how can it be that somebody will be looking for something he doesn't know? But look at it critically. Haven't you done certain things in your life when you look back, you say, wow, I can't believe I did that. In fact, you don't want to talk about it. You know, sometimes things happen in your life, it's like your brain is freezed. Your brain stopped working. Sometimes the pressure of this life can put you into this condition. And if you're not careful, you get into doing unthinkable things. You need to listen. In such moments, listen to someone. Cry out for help. It is expected of those who know God should know what they should be looking for. Matthew chapter 6 verse 32 says, For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Thank God, you you are not a pagan because you know God, right? So amid the crowds of things we run after, let us remember what is central and critical to focus on is what? Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all other things God promised He will bless us with. So this seeking first the kingdom of God is what? Doing the will of God in every matter. It is expected that those who know God should know what they should be looking for. Yeah, today I have a lot of illustration. I will give illustration again to drive home the point. The illustration title is Treasure. Assuming, number one, it will take you 20 years to find a treasure that can serve your every need for 15 to 35 years. Then the other one, number two, it will take you about 3 years to find a treasure that can serve every of your needs with no limits of years. Which one will you pick between the two? The first one will take you 20 years to find a treasure, but it can serve only every need that you have for only a limited time, 15 to 35 years. But this one is, it will take you about 3 years to find the treasure, same treasure, that can serve every of your need, but with no limits of years. The carnal mind will go from one, number one. You can see, we run after things that are not essential, that are temporal, that are earthly. We spend much of time acquiring them, and then they vanish. While here we have accepting Jesus can be done instantly, and instantly eternity with no limit. Number three, do you know where you should be looking at to find what you are looking for? It is possible you may know what you're looking for, but if you don't know where to look for it, you won't find it. The scripture says in Acts chapter 17 verse 28a, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." In Him we live and move and have our being. Everything is supposed to be in Him. You're looking for anything? In Him. Looking for a job? In Him. Looking for a partner to spend this life? In Him. It says, was Proverbs chapter 8 verse 35, "For whosoever finds me finds life and shall obtain favor," everything in Him. And that is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, if you don't know God, it is important that you begin to know Him. Why should you know who God is? Because He is our Creator, and in Him we live and move and have our being. Hallelujah. Finally, things you will do and not do because you know God. One more time. Things you will do and not do because you know God. If you know God, you will not have other gods beside Him. Because you know He is the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom He sent to die for you. You will not be afraid if you know God. You will not be afraid what man can do to you. If you know God, you will serve Him without the pleasure of this life. If you know God, you will stand the pain, the hurt, and the shame. If you know God, you will know the places you go and the places you shouldn't. If you know God, you will know the kind of music you listen to, the movies you watch. Brothers and sisters, if you know God, you'll know what kind of relationship you should get into and how to put limits in that relationship. If you truly know God, you will have consulted with Him before taking that decision. If you truly know God, you will know you shouldn't be in that situation. But if you really know God as well, even though you are in that situation, or even though you have taken that situation, if you really know God, you will know how to get out of the situation, because you rely on Him, you will confess your sin, you will say you are sorry, you will make a 180 turn, and He will get you out. He's God. He's willing to give you a new start, a second chance. If you know your God, you will not mind what they are saying about you. If you know your God, you will not budge from standing firm against opposition. If you know your God, you will not mind standing still until you see His deliverance. It doesn't matter, 10 years, 15 years. If you know your God, you wouldn't mind laying down your life for another person to know Him. If you know your God, you wouldn't mind being a doormat for His name's sake. If you know your God, you wouldn't mind being a fool for Christ. If you know your God, you will not go a day without talking to Him, without praying, without reading your Bible. If you know your God, you will not wait until Sunday before you go into His presence. If you know your God, you will know that all you have comes from Him. If you know your God, you will know He will never fail in keeping to His promises, and therefore you will always hold on to Him with hope that He will fulfill His promise. If you know your God, you will know when you are disobeying or hurting Him. If you know your God. Brothers and sisters, if you know your God, you will stop bothering God with every little thing that happens to you, because you know what you should do. You know what He expects you to do. God is looking for children that will not always be running to Him, but children that can stand and do great exploits. Not every little pain that happens to you, little headache, you start crying, you start complaining, you allow the enemy to turn you against your God. You are supposed to stand firm in these situations and do great exploits for God. If you know your God, I know this is a shocking one for some of you, you will stop lying against the devil, you'll stop blaming the devil, and you'll stop blaming people. If you know your God, if you know your God, I will say it again, you will stop lying against the devil. Because most of the times we our desires pull us into sin, and we say it is the devil. In fact, if the devil has a way of suing some of you, he will have sued some of us. But the only problem, he doesn't know which court to take you to. Because the lover of your soul will defend you. So stop blaming him all the time. Own responsibility. Stop blaming people. Own your responsibility. Make it right. In closing, the whole point of this message is, do you personally know God, your God? As you can see from the list that I've just read, and even more, that if you know God personally, not just head knowledge, you will live a happy life. There is need to personally, intimately know who God is to you. Your life will change for the better. And all that matter to for you, if you know your God, is the will of God to be established in you. Steps today of knowing more about God. Read the Bible daily and pray. Look at the creation. It talks about God. What is happening in the world is already being spoken by your God. Hallelujah. Our God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God and the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the God who